Today on the podcast, I'm really excited to welcome Lisa Peterson. Lisa is a photographer who used to photograph people, and now she photographs pets. And that's only part of the transition that she went through in her life when it came to her life and her business. In honor of Pride Month this month, I wanted to welcome Lisa and talk about how we photographers can work more inclusively with all of our clients, specifically when they are different than we are. This is a really interesting conversation. I'm so glad that Lisa was able to join us, and I welcome you to the Focal Points podcast. This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started. All right. Well, like I said in the introduction, I'm really excited to be speaking with Lisa Peterson today. Lisa is a pet photographer located in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, and she was kind enough to fill out a contact form on our show notes page, which is focalpointspodcast.com, and said she had some things that she wanted to share about her community, and she wanted to share those things with photographers in general, and how we can be more inclusive and learn how to deal with people who are different sexual orientations than we are. And I have given her complete permission that if I say something that is inappropriate or not quite right, or maybe I need to adjust my wording or my language, I have given her complete permission to correct me in this episode, because I think that that's a really important way to be able to learn how to communicate well with people who may not be the same as we are. So Lisa, first of all, thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
I'm glad that you're here. Now, before we get into our topic at hand, I would love for people to learn a little bit more about you, how you got into photography. You had a big genre shift in the middle of all this. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Absolutely. So for many years, I was a people photographer. So I photographed events and headshots and things like that, families. And then I heard a presentation from our friend Nicole Begley at Hair of the Dog about pet photography. And I said, that's the thing. Oh, Navarro, yay.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And it
the angels started singing, right? And the clouds started partying. Yeah. And you're like, I don't have to work with people anymore.
Exactly.
Except their owners, right?
Burnt out on people saying, you're making me look fat, right? Like I was done with that. And so I always joke that if, you know, dogs didn't have people at the other end of their leashes, I would not deal with people at all. anyway, so I heard about that, and then it worked out well with the timing of my own personal life. I met my now wife, and was getting married. So I took some time to plan the wedding and do the honeymoon and move and all those marriage things.
Yep.
And then launched my pet photography business, soon after that. I've been doing that for 4 years now.
Okay.
And I love it. It's the best ever.
Awesome. How long were you a people photographer before you were a pet photographer?
On and off for at least a decade.
Okay. So you've been in the business for a while.
It's
not like you just started 4 years ago.
Yep.
You have some experience that you brought to, you were able to bring to this new genre, because granted, you are photographing pets, and I'm assuming primarily dogs based on like the name of your business and everything, which is Paws for Photos.
It's Posh Photo, P-A-W-S-H.
Yep. Oh, so cute. And we'll give links to Lisa's Instagram and all those types of things on the show notes page so that you can see her great images. But, you know, my sister is a dog mom, and she says, you know, the dogs are great, but I wish we just didn't have to deal with the people so much, like the owners. And it was so funny because I actually directed a children's choir for 17 years, and it was a large children's choir in a local church. And I, on any given year, I had between 65 to 100 kids that I was dealing with, first grade through fifth grade primarily. And everyone said, oh, it must be so great. You know, you must love your job. And I would always say, oh, I love the kids. The kids are great. It's the parents that drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that it's very much the same with you, right? There's people on the other end of those leashes.
Yes.
So what I would love to do now that we have a little bit of your background, you've been in the business for a while, so almost 15 years now total with photography, and you had a big life shift change, and you decided to change your genre based on photography. How was that starting out in that new genre?
Oh, it was super fun. Uncharted waters for me, mm-hmm. because it was the same but different, right? So I didn't know if I would be able to create images that would resonate with dog parents and, mm-hmm. and now with cat parents. Mm-hmm. And to be perfectly honest, I was also newly married to a woman. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to navigate that space either and mm-hmm. how to be authentically me. I worried a lot about, am I going to be able to find clients who won't be offended by my, whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it. Some people call it a lifestyle choice. How am I going to market authentically who I am and not hide from that, but also not make it front and center. And so sure. for me, it was trying to find that balance. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, learning all the things that a new photographer needs to learn. It was kind of exciting. So a new and different adventure that was also kind of the same, but also not.
With a very, you know, with some twists in there. So did you share a lot of your personal life when you were not in your current relationship? Was that something that was part of your marketing?
I guess I didn't think about it. Like I would certainly share. So I was, mm-hmm. a mom, right? So I would share stories about that if it was appropriate. I would share stories about mm-hmm. adopting a dog and cooking and just things that happened in my life as I was living it and didn't really think mm-hmm. about it. I didn't share too many very personal things. Mm-hmm. I did share I was divorced. I did share I was a single mom when I was. Yeah. So I tried to walk that line. And I, since I'm now newly married to a woman, I felt the gates kind of closed for a while, and then now they're kind of open. Yeah.
Right. Do you think that was your interpretation of needing to pull back a little bit? Like, that's just like you felt like, oh, I can't share this quite yet. Was that more of a personal thing, or did you feel and see direct outside sources saying, Lisa, you need to pull this back?
Both, I think. And I don't want to get too political, but there was a political climate that was not all that friendly to people like me for a while, mm-hmm. And it's yeah. still the case. And also my own personal work and my own personal growth, I still want to be authentic and connect with people mm-hmm. in an authentic way. Right. So I've learned that, you know, if people don't resonate with my story, they probably aren't my ideal client anyway.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting because I live right outside of Washington, D.C. in a very politically charged environment. Yeah. But it's also a big city. And you're outside of a big city, but you know, we're in a big city that and in an area that is pretty accepting and pretty aware that people are different. And accepting of that. Now, I'm in the suburbs. If you go into the city, you're going to find certain biases that are there. And then if you go to the other side of the Maryland side, you're going to find certain things that are just subtle, almost to neighborhoods sometimes. And when you're trying to throw a net out to a larger geographic area than just your immediate neighborhood, which is what we need to do as photographers, because not all of our clients that can support our business are right in our backyard are exactly like us. It becomes a little bit sketchy. And I think a lot of times we put those limitations on ourselves because we see certain things happening out in society and out in the news. And so we take those actions to protect ourselves when maybe sometimes we didn't need to do that. But I said something right there, and I know that this was on our list of things to talk about, and I wanted to dive into specifically the idea of unconscious bias and the things that we do that can hurt our business or just not have us be as open to things because of certain programming, the way that we were raised, certain messages that we believe, certain things that we believe, like that we listen to. So did you want to speak on that for a little bit?
Yeah, yep. And this is something I have a personal interest in, how brains mm-hmm. work. And so I was doing some research about unconscious bias. And I thought, if we can delve into some stats here for a second, I thought this was interesting. And so our brains can process about 40 pieces of information per second that we're mm-hmm. aware of. Mm-hmm. But in the same second, we can process 11 million pieces unconsciously.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So, you know, amazing. You extrapolate that 11 million pieces of information times when you were a baby through your current life. Whoa, that's a lot of information, right? Mm-hmm. And it's unconscious. coupled with our tribal instincts. We as humans want to be part of a tribe. So the way you were raised, the people you socialize with, you want to be part of that. And all of those things combine into this blind spot that nobody is aware of. You're unconscious mm-hmm. of it. And it can come out sideways sometimes when you're dealing in a service-based industry like photography. You deal with a wide variety of people. And unconsciously, it can be, for me, as simple as I had somebody on the phone recently. It was a Zoom call. It was a consult call. And based on what they were wearing, I made a judgment about how much they could afford. Mm-hmm. Is it fair? No. But it was split second. And like, Lisa, mm-hmm. okay, that's unconscious. Stop it. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's all of those things that it's a blind spot. And if you can shift your focus and not judge yourself or anybody else, but just be aware of it, you will be a much more empathetic service provider to everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think having that in your brain as something that you need to pay attention to mm-hmm. will be helpful as you try to serve your clients in the best possible way.
Right. I love that, because in business, I kind of call them your preconceived notions. Like yeah. it's, to me, it's kind of the same. Like, I'll be dealing with a client. I'm like, why am I feeling this way towards this client? They've yes. done nothing to justify me being irritated with them. But we put all this, either emotions, actions, feelings, into these experiences. And we can see this all the time. I'm actually working on a piece of talking about not judging your client before, like what you were just talking about, what they had a shirt on. Not judging your client before they get to the sale experience, like the sale. And we see a lot of posts of people saying, well, they have a big house and they go on these vacations and they wear these designer bags and they do this and this and this. Why didn't they purchase more? Well, you're putting your preconceived notions or your unconscious bias on your client, thinking that just because they have certain outward showing of wealth, that you are entitled and that they should purchase a certain amount of items from you or spend a certain amount of money from you. And the truth of that is their outward showing of wealth has nothing to do with how much they can afford, because a lot of people will purchase those items because it looks good to the world before they purchase like those secret luxury items, which I would consider photography like a secret luxury item. They'll skimp on those things in order to be able to afford those items that show the outward wealth. Mm. And you're not entitled to their bank account. You don't know what's in there. So by you putting that idea on them, well, why didn't they buy more? That's just showing your unconscious bias, your preconceived notions of in a negative way, because you thought just because they drove a Mercedes that they would buy $4,000 worth of art from you.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work that way. I have lots of clients that drive Mercedes and don't buy that much art from me, unfortunately. I wish it did work that way, right? Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice. Yeah.
So I understand that from taking that one step further of it also means that when you're coming into dealing with clients that are dramatically different from you, you're going to approach the situation in a way that your quote unquote programming has designed you to approach it. Whether that's good or bad, that is how we approach those situations.
Yeah. Especially if feels a little uncomfortable to you. Mm-hmm. And you mm-hmm. have some of your own anxieties, at least for me, I default back to my comfort zone, right?
Right. Well, that's what your brain does. Your brain's there to protect you. Your brain never wants you to go into any type of situation that feels uncomfortable, because your brain is there to try and keep you on earth as long as possible. That's just some of those, you called it tribal type of things. Our bodies and our brains were designed a certain way. And so anytime we start doing something uncomfortable, I call it kind of also the Italian grandma effect, where she's like, oh no, don't leave me. Don't eat all your dinner. Don't leave me. It's because she wants you to be fed. She wants you to be protected. And she knows if you stay with her, you're going to be protected. And she doesn't want you to leave. And she doesn't want you to go experiencing things that are maybe unfamiliar to you, because if they're unfamiliar, they may not be a success. Kind of where this all comes down to, right? So I love that. How do you think, do you have any tips and tricks of when people inquire with you that are different, or with someone else who might be different from you, of how you can handle these types of situations?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the first thing is, don't panic. Take a minute, right? Like, ground yourself and know that it might feel uncomfortable. But the more you can be comfortable, the more the other person will feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've learned about sharing my own story. Wherever, if I'm comfortable with it and I don't make it a big deal, it's not a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. So bear that in mind. Mm-hmm. And then approach it with authenticity, with empathy, with emotion, with openness, mm-hmm. and get to know them, right? Like, take away the preconceived notions, take a learning opportunity. Tell me about your pet. What do you like to do with your pet? Because mm-hmm. it's a doorway into their world. Like, find mm-hmm. that opening where mm-hmm. it's comfortable. If you're a family photographer and they have kids, tell me about your kids, right? Maybe mm-hmm. they're from another country. Maybe they have a disability. What do you like to do with your kids? Whatever. Find a doorway that you can feel comfortable walking through mm-hmm. as a bridge to the other person.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that so much. If you approach it from the attitude of just learning, empathy, get rid of the judgments, and just try and learn about each other. Like, that's the best that we can do almost in any situation, right? Is just mm-hmm. to, just because you're learning about something doesn't mean you necessarily have to believe that is right for you. It just means it might be right for them. And that's okay. So I love the idea of being able to have some tricks in your toolbox when people contact you that are different from you, no matter how that difference manifests itself, being able to just have a few tools in your back pocket, being like, okay, I got this. They're different from me. It's no big deal. It's all good. It's all good, right? So especially when we're dealing with people who are different from us, like you said, you are married to a woman now. In your previous life, you were married to a man. So that's a very big shift for you. How did you change? And you also changed from photographing people into photographing pets. So big changes for Lisa all the way around. Huge. How did you change? A lot of people might be thinking, oh my gosh, how did she change her business from people to pets? How did you negotiate that? What did you do when you were making that shift?
Yeah, for me, it was a very heart-centered shift. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I could serve people better if I were photographing their pets and the connection they had with their pets, as mm-hmm. opposed to photographing people and their connection with each other. Though right. I love that too. I think for me, I was getting older. I'm decidedly middle-aged.
You and me both. It's all good.
I've decided, it's all good. Right? That's my joke with my wife. And so I think for me, it was also a personal journey on mm-hmm. becoming authentically me and kind of claiming from the universe what it was that I wanted for myself. And in doing that, I exuded into the world and put out there all of the energy to attract the people that would serve that current passion of mine in mm-hmm. a different way.
Okay.
You know, the background in my personal life, I was also authentically myself and marrying the love of my life, who happens to be a woman, mm-hmm. and transitioning into being more authentically me in my personal life. And that mm-hmm. kind of spilled over.
Okay. That's all great. I love that so much. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit because people are sometimes, wait a minute. She went from people to pets. Like, I know, so there are some people out there being like, okay, got it. She was authentically herself and that's all great and good. But like, literally, did you go on your website one day, take all the people off and put all the dogs on? Like how did you do this?
Yep. So a couple things. I closed down the business for humans.
The people
different
part.
Name, okay. Different LLC, shut the doors.
Okay.
Took a break, got married. Started the new pet photography, completely different name, before I started it. So I would have some marketing photos and a little bit of know-how. I volunteered mm-hmm. for pet rescues who mm-hmm. needed photography for their pet finder for adoptable dogs. So I got some experience then. And I also just recruited people I knew in my personal network to say, I think I want to photograph dogs. Let me meet Fido at the dog park with you and let's see how this goes.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So that's... I didn't do that exactly. I used to photograph newborns and people, families. And my trigger event, realizing that I didn't really want to do that anymore, was my mom dying and COVID. So basically with me, if people know my story, is that my mom died on March 11th, 2020, my area shut down the very next day. Oof. Like schools closed like the whole bit, which means no funeral, no, like people, like all of that, you know? So there are some real traumatic things that happened to me at the beginning of COVID. Now, my mom didn't pass away from COVID. My mom had had a 12-year long battle with cancer. So we knew this was coming, but that whole event was like, I just don't want to work weekends anymore. I don't want to deal with newborn babies that pee on me anymore. I need something different. So I went to a mastermind presentation with one of my mentors, and who's not in the photography industry. While I was there, I shut down all my people galleries and only put up a headshot gallery. Like literally, it happened within 15 minutes.
Wow.
I didn't feel like I needed to change names or change domains or anything like you did. And what was your previous business name?
Red Thread Images.
You could have used that. You could have used that, you know, because it's not like People Photography by Lisa. Like, right? You could have used it, but you chose to really cut that cord.
Yeah.
So no matter how, when you're looking at a genre change, which I think is just like a side lesson to what we're talking about today, there's many ways that you can do it. But I think both of us have shown that really making a clean cut in some way so that there's no question about what your business does anymore is key. Now, true confession, I actually have a photograph of a newborn baby that I photographed 2 weeks ago on my Instagram, but I made it very clear. I came out of retirement for one session. This is a very dear session to a family. I knew images were going to be posted on social and I was going to get tagged in them. So I wanted to share them, right? And he's adorable. We love him very, very much and all of that. But it's very clear, like I came out of retirement, like newborn retirement for one session only. So we both did something similar. You just took it this next step further of doing it from corporation. I didn't really need to do that. My business is set up in a way that I have a consulting LLC. Okay. And then I have my DBAs doing business as.
Right.
So I can play with that a little bit more, but everybody needs to do it the way they're most comfortable. So that's, if you're wondering how you can change genres, honestly, just rip that Band-Aid out, get your portfolio images that you need while you're working in the old business, but get them for the new business and then work on that website behind the scenes, do your secret, whatever you're doing, either under a new domain or create your secret galleries and just make the switch one day.
Yeah.
And it's scary, but it's so worth it. You'll feel so much better about your business when you're photographing something that you love. Are you tired of generic photo albums that don't do your stunning images justice? Now, trust me, I have ordered samples from almost every lab, literally every lab. I have a stack of them, probably 50 albums high in my storage room. And I love Enphoto's albums. I have seen them all. You need to look no further than Enphoto's range of beautifully handcrafted albums made with the finest materials. These albums are the perfect way to showcase your photos in a way that truly, truly makes you look like an awesome photographer. And the best part, as a listener of the Focal Points podcast, you can get a 75% discount on your first sample album by signing up for an account using the link in our show notes. Visit focalpointspodcast.com and start showing your work off in a beautiful, beautiful way. So we talked about unconscious bias. We talked about the switch that you made and how you made, literally how you made that switch. But I'm assuming also with the switch from people to pause, I'll just put it that way.
Yep.
You also had to change your marketing. You had to change your messaging. And also you were working in a completely different space as far as how you were living your life and the people that you were probably going to attract into your business. So how did you change your marketing or your wording on your website? And what are maybe some ideas that people can use from your experience to say, hey, I do want to be more inclusive. I do want to cater to people that are either the same or different as me. But what I see out in mainstream doesn't really fit how I want to talk to people in my business. What are some ideas? How did that affect you, first of all? And then what are some ideas that people can use to be more inclusive in their business?
Yeah. So for me, I think it was, I wanted to be very clear to what you were saying earlier, right? Like, it was important to me to say, okay, I'm doing pets. I have an affinity for pet Here's why, and talk about my own personal why story mm-hmm. as a bridge to, okay. And then I started talking about, you know, when you come to me, here's what happens in the experience and all of the standard marketing things that happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I wanted to serve the people in my market and be more mm-hmm. inclusive in general. Mm-hmm. And so I made a conscious decision to try to remove pronouns as much as possible and not make an assumption that all dog owners are female. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just try to be as inclusive as possible. Also talking about, you know, making accommodations for people with physical disabilities, mm-hmm. Making accommodation for dogs who struggle with anxiety and their owners who struggle with anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And try to think about the things that I struggle with and make those mm-hmm. part of my marketing. So I'm talking to people who are human, frankly, mm-hmm. talking about the struggles of humanity in a way that makes sense in a marketing standpoint. That has worked really well for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one example that I had recently when it was like a huge red blinking light where I needed to change some of my communication in my business was I was doing headshots for a gentleman. And when they come to see me, they have to go down a flight of stairs. And I've never thought anything about mentioning the fact that they need to go down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
And he was an older gentleman, and he shared with me that he had just been given the green light after having cancer. But you could tell that his physical body had been impacted with the treatments and so forth. And he found that flight of stairs a struggle. It's just one flight of stairs. And he's walking down the flight of stairs, and immediately the red, like the ringing light in my head is going off. Like, I need to be mentioning this to people that they're going to be going down a flight of stairs. Yeah. And if it's a problem, we can adapt, but they need to let me know. Like, I need to give them a heads up. So I had that. And coincidentally, the next person who hired me for headshots was a executive in the association dealing with people who lose limbs, whether it's through soldiers or accidents or whatever. It was a support community for people who have prosthetics in some way. And I didn't know her physical situation, but because I had this experience with this gentleman, I was already thinking, I need to let her know about the flight of stairs. Like, I don't know what the deal is, but I put that in my paperwork, the directions of coming in. Hey, FYI, you will be asked to walk up and down one flight of stairs. If this is a problem, we can set up in a different way, which I can. Please let me know in advance if this is an issue. Well, she walked in and she had no physical problems navigating the flight of stairs. But because I have a very open relationship with my clients, and because of what she was moving into and who she served through work, I said, can I ask you how was the wording with this? Was this appropriate? Did this make sense to anyone who you might serve if they came to me? First, I don't want it to be offensive. But I want to be sensitive to the fact that not everyone can fly up and down a flight of stairs easily. And she's like, oh no, what you said was perfect. And I didn't think anything of it. Like it was almost like it had always been there, even though she was the first person that I had used it on. So would you suggest if you're having good conversation with the clients, asking for that kind of feedback, or did I take a really big risk by saying, oh, well, should I have done that? Like how would you have done that?
I actually have, and I think it's always good. I think mm-hmm. approaching it like you did with sensitivity and empathy is always good. Mm-hmm. And I will, if I know somebody is in a group that I haven't served before, I will, mm-hmm. same thing, I will ask for feedback. How was mm-hmm. this for you? How could I improve? You know, what was a challenge for you? I'm here to learn, you know, mm-hmm. And I've learned similar thing. I have an open flight of stairs that leads up to my studio. Mm-hmm. And dogs are generally terrified of it. And I didn't even
interesting. Think about it. Is it open like the it has like the space between it?
Yeah.
Like the I'm totally gonna date myself here, like the Brady Bunch tiles kind of stairs.
Like the Brady Bunch. So, the Brady Bunch stairway. Yeah.
Okay. Which for those of you who are too young and don't know, never seen the Brady Bunch, it's the kind of stairway where it's just like it has the flat part that you step on. And then that's attached on the edges, but it doesn't have like the facing board. So technically your foot could slip right through it, which scares me to death. But okay, so you have that type of platform. And I can see how that could cause some dogs some pause. No pun intended.
Right.
When approaching, if they're not used to that kind of staircase.
Yeah.
So you put that in your materials?
I do. And okay. I also let the humans know if they have trouble mm-hmm. navigating the stairs. I don't have an elevator, right? So mm-hmm. if they're not physically able to make it up the flight of stairs, we need to photograph outside.
Yeah.
And so that's something it's called ableism, right? So I try to address that in my marketing as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me as a pet photographer, we usually go to a park. We're navigating trails that aren't wheelchair accessible.
Right.
We're walking. So mm-hmm. I want to be sure that I'm addressing that as well.
Yeah, I do that. I have a couple favorite spots when I was doing maternity photography, like with creeks and bridges and that kind of stuff. And I would just say, listen, this is about a quarter of a mile walk. It's not a strenuous walk, but when you're dealing with someone who might be 7 months pregnant, some would say, you know what? I'm not feeling that. Yeah. Okay, we'll do them in studio or I'll find a different location that isn't as far from a parking area, but just being sensitive to those things. And I'm someone who my personal journey and my viewers know this is over the past year and a half, I've lost about 120 pounds. And so in that journey, I work out like a fiend. I'm every day. It's like an hour commitment for me to do this. I'm in the best shape of my life. And so when I say I run up and down the stairs now, literally I run up and down the stairs now. It's no big deal. My husband, who's been super fit his whole entire life, can't keep up anymore. I'm like, come on, baby, you need to get on it, right? But because my situation has changed, I'm finding that I need to also remember, hey, Joy, when you weren't as mobile, what did you find more difficult? And when I weighed 120 pounds more, I literally was not as mobile. Like I could not move the way that I move now. So those are just shifts in my personal body that have made things different. I'm not saying better or worse, just made things different. Mm-hmm. And it gives me a kind of empathy for my clients that versus a photographer that's never been through those things.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that in your paperwork and on your website and so forth, that you went through and you try to remove pronouns or change pronouns to make that more inclusive. Can you give us maybe some ideas of what it comes to, like if you're a wedding photographer and you're catering to same-sex couples, what are some things that people should consider when they're talking about people who are getting married in non-situations like mine?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Non-heteronormative, I think would be the right word. Okay. Heteronormative situations.
Yeah. So I think the first thing is for you to go through, like, especially if you have an intake form for wedding. Mm-hmm. I went through this with my wife and all the different vendors, wife, husband, like remove those. That's an obvious one, right?
And so does it become spouse one and spouse two?
Yes. Please don't use partner. Because before marriage was legal, partner had a connotation of a pseudo spouse.
Yeah. I don't like the word partner.
Yeah. And then it's like, are you a business partner? Like that. It's mm-hmm. yeah. So spouse it's one and spouse two is perfect. Or, you know, client one, client two, whatever you want to use is fine. Same thing on your contracts and all of those forms that you have. That's mm-hmm. a good place to start. And in your marketing, you can refer to it as, you know, couples or, you know, brides, grooms, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Husband and wife, if it is that, but again, be sensitive that it might not always be that way. So depending on what the usage is, right, you kind of got to judge how that will mm-hmm. be used. And then also gender. Mm-hmm. Don't have male, female. There's way more genders than that in general. Mm-hmm. So just maybe there's no reason we need to know gender. That's a different connotation, I wouldn't think.
Well, I want to get into the fact that we're talking about removing pronouns and certain gender identities in our forms and in our marketing. But we were talking earlier before the podcast started about also removing those types of ideas, specifically masculine and feminine, when it came to posing couples. And we see this a lot in certain forms. Photographers maybe been hired for their first same-sex couple wedding or engagement or elopement or whatever that is. And they want to know how to pose the people, and they're looking through it. They're looking through the posing idea through the normal heterosexual ways of posing of who is feminine and who is masculine. And before the podcast started, you had some very interesting thoughts on that. So I was hoping you could share those with us.
Yeah, for sure. So this is what I was taught too. We're all taught, if, you know, bring out the feminine features, bring out the masculine features. That's how we're all taught. And I have in my brain, like, okay, feminine do this, masculine do that. And you just, that's how you flow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When we're talking about people in my community, that's not really how it works. And so the challenge is for your unconscious bias to remove, okay, male here, female here. This is how those poses fit together when you're photographing a couple. And if you can train your brain to not say to yourself, okay, which one has the masculine energy, male, female, and do those categorizations, and instead do what I call comfort posing. I made that up.
I love it though. Comfort posing, trademark it.
Yeah. And so it's hard to let go of. I'm a control enthusiast, as others like to say.
That's another good one. Okay. Yeah,
I learned that from Nicole. And so this is kind of the way it works, right? Like I would say to you, Dory and whoever, right? I would love for you to go stand under that bridge. And while you're there, I would love for you to face each other and, give each other a hug or something. Okay.
Right.
So they go do that, presumably, and they're comfortable with it because they're a couple. And then you can adjust from there and you see that maybe Dory's face is in the sunlight. So you say, okay, Trey needs to move 2 feet to the left. Try again, right? Put them in the shape. So what you're doing is you are adjusting for your job as a photographer to put them in the best light and not for your role as a person who has been trained with gender identity. You wouldn't say to them, okay, Dory, I would love for you to do this to your partner's cheek because that's a very feminine type of pose, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't want that. We want them to be comfortable. And then when they're there, they have shown you what their comfort level is, right? And you can adjust for, like, you know, that's not flattering. They need to move the hand, make those micro adjustments and go with that and use that as your starting pose, as opposed to trying to fit them in the gender roles that you're accustomed to. So you can use your same posing flow. You just need to let them lead you.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. And I think a lot of what people get, especially photographers, we get worried about is that we know most of our clients aren't comfortable being in front of the camera. Okay. And so if we give them too much freedom when it comes to posing and things like that, the images are not going to seem authentic or look natural or look comfortable. And I guess my thing would be is like, you need to make sure that you spend enough time with them to get them to loosen up a little bit, play some music, like talk to them, make them as comfortable as possible. But by having them lead the natural way that they interact with each other, and then you going in, like you say, make those micro adjustments to make them photographically beautiful, that's a better way than going in, okay, Dory, you go in, pop the hip, do this, you know, because the women are always in the S curves and the men are always in the more boxy square poses. And then we put them together and that's what we think is stereotypically good posing, but nothing in these situations is really stereotypical, if that makes sense. And by allowing them the freedom, they're going to love their images more. They're going to feel like they've had some control over it than just going with someone who tells them what to do.
Well, and
which
for,
I think is huge.
I can't speak for the whole community, but a lot of us in my community have safety issues in the real world. When we're out in public, is it safe to hold my wife's hand? And we make a judgment call, right? Being in any sort of public display of affection in public is already anxiety producing for a lot of my people. And they also may go along with what you're asking them to do because they're trying to be cooperative and it's their session and they're trying to make the most of it. So attune yourself to say, okay, they're doing what I ask, but they also look stiff and uncomfortable. That's your cue to say, that was fantastic. Let's try something else. Walk a few feet, walk off the anxiety or something else, right?
Yeah,
the more you can attune to their comfort level, the better. And I think tying it back to what you said about asking the questions, right? Mm-hmm. One of the questions that you may consider asking is, how comfortable are you with public displays of affection?
Yeah, that's great.
And is there a place that you like to go? Because you will know that it's a place that they're comfortable in. Then you'll have to make the decision, is it photographically appropriate? but it's right. a place that they go. They feel comfortable. They're there. It's their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And you know, you'll have to make that call. But I think the really bottom line is make sure that when you're posing, don't assume anything, mm-hmm. right? Do yeah. it to their comfort level, adjust yourself to them, do your photography job, but moreover, be a good human and adjust to their comfort level,
right.
which is the same for any human or pet.
Right. And the thing is, though, this is a situation, especially when you're dealing with, I'll say, relationship photographers, whether it's an elopement, an engagement, a wedding, whatever it is. This isn't just specific to the LGBTQ community. There are religious sects that do not allow touching before you get up to the altar. There are people who choose not to engage in any sort of physical content before they get married. This isn't just right. being able to make people of certain lifestyles comfortable. I don't know if lifestyles is the right word there, but it's not just about that, because these techniques and these ideas of being able to put your client at ease and help them help run the session and pose a session are techniques that we all have, because we could have someone come and it's a man and it's a woman and they're entering into what the quote unquote traditional marriage situation, but because of their personal beliefs, they are not touching each other before, and we're talking even holding hands
right.
before they get married, but they still want beautiful engagement photos. So how are you going to navigate that? Well, I think these tips that you've shared with us today can translate very easily into other situations that we might find ourselves in with people, again, who are different from us, and make a session, an experience for them as beautiful as it can be, provide them beautiful, beautiful images that they're going to treasure, knowing that they were respected and seen and I guess respected, but also just like embraced.
Yeah.
And being made to feel important and beautiful and loved and all those things that we want our clients to feel. Sometimes I think as society, we go down these certain ways of separating people. Yes. But it's not always that cut and dry, because there are people in other segments of the community who want the same thing that you all want, but just for different reasons.
That's right.
And us being able to be more inclusive to everyone, which is what this conversation absolutely is about, is something that's going to help you be seen as the photographer that can make that thing happen yep. for them. So Lisa, I have taken up entirely way too much of your time today with this conversation, because I feel that it's so very, very important. But before we leave, I would love for you to just share with our audience where they can find you, if they want to see your work, see your beautiful pet photography, or just reach out and have any questions. How can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Posh Photo, PawshPhoto. And my website is poshphoto.com.
Great. So if you're driving, if you're working out, if you're not doing something where you can write that stuff down, don't worry. Just head over to thefocalpointspodcast.com on our show notes page for this episode. And we will have links to all of Lisa's contact information, where you can find her, where you can follow her, and get all that great information. So Lisa, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure entirely.
I really, really appreciate you coming on, being transparent, and helping us with this conversation. So thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. Now, I have a little bit of housekeeping that I hate to throw in the mix, but I'm going to ask just the same. Number one, if you would be so kind and head over to your favorite podcasting platform and hit us with a 5-star review, that would help us get the word out about this podcast, and I would really appreciate it. Secondly, if you or someone you know would like to be a guest, head over to focalpointspodcast.com, scroll about halfway down that page, input that form, name, email, why you want to be a guest or why you think they would be a great guest, and our team will reach out to those people and try and get them booked so that you can listen to their process just like you listened to our guests today. Thank you so much for joining us.